Father's Day is just around the corner, and you probably need a gift for your hairy dad. Make your dad proud this year and get him and yourself the Manscaped Lawnmower 4.0. You heard that right. The Lawnmower 4.0. Get 20% off and free shipping using the promo code HAYES. That's H-A-Y-E-S at manscaped.com. Use the promo code HAYES at manscaped.com. Final hour, Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 on the TSN app, your home smart speaker, and up on TSN 2. Brian Azio, Dog, Jeff O'Neill, Jamie Noodles, McLennan, our boy Jack Armstrong, who may be in attendance. You know, the Yankees, I believe, the team of his youth in Buffalo, his new hometown, where the Jays are playing the Yankees starting tonight, three-game series. And then once you get through the Yankees,
to see what uni Jack would have on for that one.
Very curious to find that out. Maybe a Buffalo Bison uniform. Just somewhere right in the middle, I could see that. So we'll catch up with Jack a little bit later on. Nets and Bucks tonight, Game 5. That series tied at 2. James Harden, we'll find out. Game-time decision, he may or may not play. And if he does and he's nowhere close to 100%, it's on Kevin Durant. If he doesn't, it's on Kevin Durant. Like, this is KD time tonight, right? Like, he's got to go off. And the momentum has shifted, and we'll see what Milwaukee has in store as well. So we'll catch up with Jack a little bit later on. The U.S. Open is here. It's U.S. Open week down at Torrey Pines. We'll make our picks tomorrow. Still trying to figure out how many picks is realistic to make it kind of feel like an actual competition in a real draft as opposed to buffoonery.
Five. If we can't pick five and pick one of the main guys that wins the U.S. Open, then we're idiots. Sorry. Five plus one Canadian. Seven.
This is how it starts.
This is how it starts, yeah.
The guru gives us one each, a Canadian, and then five.
All right, seven it is. Seven it is, with a chance at a
double
down on
Friday.
You
were so hard to talk into that.
Yeah. The Golf Report is brought to you by your Ontario Subaru dealers. Adventure on safely in a Subaru. So our boy Brad Faxon, who we're hoping to have on at some point this week, was doing the rounds. He was on Sirius XM earlier today, and he had said, and this was somewhat anecdotal, like this was him saying through the grapevine, people on tour had been saying, which you might argue maybe is a bit careless, like is it 100% true or not? But he said that the USGA had approached Bryson DeChambeau and his representatives with the suggestion of pairing him with Koepka for the first two rounds at Torrey Pines.
Wow.
To which,
I believe that.
To which DeChambeau, according to Faxon, said no. Said no, not interested, not doing it. Now, since then, naturally, DeChambeau's agent has come out and said 100% false. I believe the USGA has come out and said we never contacted Bryson, which means maybe they didn't contact him directly. They went somewhere else. But if there is truth in it, and the way the world works now, once it's out there, even if it's untrue, people are going to believe it.
Right.
DeChambeau is going to take a ton of heat for this because,
well, there's two sides of it, Hayes, for Bryson DeChambeau. One, is it a missed opportunity to develop this big rivalry? I'm sure the networks that are covering this event on television would say this is just going to be must-watch, watching these two guys go at it, not talking to each other, acting like they're hating it. And Koepka came out last week and said, we're trying to grow the game. This is about a new generation, blah, blah, blah. But for Bryson DeChambeau, if he's not going to buy into that, the other side of this is, you saw the sideshow that happened at the Memorial where people are yelling, Brooksy. He's trying to defend the U.S. Open. Why would he want that as some kind of side distraction or sideshow while he's trying to win and defend the U.S. Open? As much as we want to say we love the show, we want this, this isn't a frat house, man, where everything's about hooting and hollering and rivalries. This is about a guy that takes this seriously and he doesn't want the distraction. You got to respect that.
I totally understand it from his standpoint. Like, for me, the guy on the couch watching, I want to see them together. But I will say this. That comes with a caveat. I want to see it happen naturally on the weekend. That's what I want. I don't need it wasted on Thursday and Friday.
You can waste it at some other event, a world championship or something.
At some point, it's going to happen. At some point, they're going to connect. They're both naturally going to come up in the draw. They're going to be at the PGA Championship, and one is one. The Masters, the other one's won the U.S. Open, so they're paired together, right, on Thursday or Friday or whatever. That's going to happen. But I want to see them paired on Saturday or better yet, on Sunday, the first time they go at it. That's what I would want. And I totally agree with what you're saying with DeChambeau. This guy's the reigning U.S. Open champ. He's at the U.S. Open. Why would he care about what NBC wants, what the USG wants, even what Koepka wants? Why would he care? He probably hates that the report is out because now he looks soft. He looks like he can't handle the heat.
Well, he already probably – I'm telling you, he knows what went down at the Memorial. How distracting is it? We were talking about it, how hard it is to play golf today. Do you think he wants to deal with that nonsense out at Torrey? He's probably still going to have to deal with it
now.
Because as much as we think, oh, it's the U.S. Open, and you go to a golf tournament, and you shut your mouth, and you watch the tournament, people don't care anymore, man. They're going to be 15 pints deep, and they're going to be yelling ridiculous things at this guy the whole time.
That's right.
All right, Brooks. You're
right. It just, you know what, though? Like, I don't know where you guys signed. Like, I like Koepka, and he seems like a cool dude in that. But, like, DeChambeau, he hasn't done anything wrong. He just kind of goes about his own business, correct? Am I wrong in that? Like, he seems like he's a guy who doesn't really interact with people, just does his thing.
Yep.
He's scientific. He's got the cleats that piss everyone off, the spikes or whatever. Like,
right.
But I want to say, I don't want to say he's innocent, but I want to say in this situation, he hasn't done anything wrong.
By all accounts, a, like, genuinely really good guy, kind of nerdy, just doing his own thing, plays,
so
you know,
what? Yeah,
and he bothers
nerdy.
Koepka. Koepka yeah. loves it because Koepka's playing the role of the bully right now. Like, no one's yelling Bryson in his backswing, you know what
right.
I mean? And everyone's like, hey, Brooks Koepka, this is awesome, and yeah, go get DeChambeau, and it's easy to goof on this guy. So Koepka loves it. We'll see what Koepka thinks of it when it goes the other way, if
right.
it does, you know? So it's easy for him to advocate for it, but at some point, they're going to get connected. They're too good. They're still in their primes. They're going to be on tour for a long time. I'd rather see it happen naturally. I don't need to see it Thursday, Friday. Let's see it Saturday or Sunday, because I could say this. If it's DeChambeau, Koepka tied with like a 3 or 4 shot lead on whoever is third on Sunday and their paired final group, those ratings, they won't be Tiger Woods ratings, because I don't think anything can match Tiger Woods ratings, but they'll be Phil Mickelson at the PGA. I think they'll match what Phil just did a few weeks ago. So, yeah, I mean, it's we got something cooking here leading into Torrey Pines. So our picks tomorrow, more analysis on it, teeing up the tournament as we go on. But let's fire up our weekly version of Confirm or Deny.
I can neither confirm or deny that that this is in fact a segment.
Austin trades Andrew Raycroft to Toronto in exchange for the rights to Tuukka Rask.
It's been my honor and a privilege to serve as the general manager of the Toronto Maple Leafs Hockey Club.
It's time for Confirm or Deny.
Do you regret giving all those gentlemen the no trades or no movement clauses?
I can neither confirm or deny that.
I can't confirm or deny.
Fergie, like I told you today, Hayes, and you got to admit, the shoulder is dialed in.
It was very dialed in.
Really?
It's dialed in. And I needed the same surgery with Fergie, and I said to him, I go, Ferg, we're missing the playoffs. Why am I still in the lineup? Ah, whatever, whatever. He's just, it was just
can't
such a
can't confirm or deny that you have a labrum tear. Cannot confirm or deny.
I can neither confirm or deny that.
Then I just say, screw you, Fergie, and I get, you know the story. I get to 19 goals. I'm about to have a 20-goal season. He takes me out for Jeremy Williams the last game, and the guys, it's just... And then I got to have surgery. I'm like, Ferg, thanks a lot for making me play those 15, 20 games. So stupid.
Confirm or deny. Well, it's better than ever. That shoulder is holding up. Helped your putting in your short game more than anything. Forget bombs off the tee. This guy putting. I've never seen anything like it earlier today.
Wow.
Yeah, it was unbelievable. Confirm or Deny is brought to you by Don Valley North Lexus. Take advantage of an incredible 1.5% off lease and finance rates for rates as low as 0.4%. Visit DonValleyNorthLexus.com for all the details. All right, confirm or deny. We know the way this works. A statement is made. We go around the table. Do we confirm it or do we deny it? These new rules for pitchers in Major League Baseball using foreign substances, they're trying to crack down on that, will put an end to the spider tack era in Major League Baseball.
Deny. I think they're going to come up with something. Somebody's going to come up with a spider tack substance that's untraceable. They're going to be like Harris from Major League, rubbing it on his nostrils, and Bardol and all the garbage that he used. I just, It never stops. It seems like the one sport, Hayes, and we mentioned it earlier in the show, they're just going to find something. It's so competitive. And there's so many, this isn't obviously talked about a lot, but it's the money that's involved. You think about if you just have, look at Garrett Cole. Look at what Spider Tack probably put in that guy's pocket.
Right. Trevor Bauer, potentially the same thing with the Dodgers. Yep, for sure.
They'll come out. What if it's the, I'm going to deny it too. Through osmosis, what if it's naturally the Joaquim, you know,
Yogi Low routine?
Yogi
Low, natural substances.
The natural substance. Like, what
just
if this guy
barn says, door right to the two seamer?
Like, it might be that they find, like, you know, perspiration or, you know, something else.
Right. Yeah,
could be. Like, I don't know, but it just. I think they'll always find a workaround. There'll always be something else.
Well, this is going to explode. It already has. I'm going to deny it as well, but Tyler Glasnow is speaking right now. He's the ace down in Tampa. He's having a spectacular year. He's got a significant injury, and he's doing his dance with Tommy John right now. He's either going to rehab it and try to get through the year, or it feels like at some point he's going to have Tommy John. And he is speaking right now down in Tampa, or he did earlier this hour, and he's going on a rant about how the midseason crackdown is what has cost him his season and led to the injury. And he's claiming he used sunscreen and rosin. So he said he would use sunscreen for better grip on the ball. And as of two starts ago, when the crackdown started, he decided he shouldn't do it anymore. And now he's got injured, and he's adamant that this crackdown has led to an injury. Now, is that scientific? Of course not. Is it his own theory? Absolutely. Is he biased? Yes. But could it be a complete coincidence? For sure. But here's a guy who's a stud arm who is yelling into the abyss that because of this crackdown, he's injured now. And he's trying to convince the world it wasn't about spin rate. It wasn't about spider tack. It was about grip so that I could throw the ball a certain way and not blow my arm out. And this is when it gets dangerous, man. This is when, again, pitchers will say, fine, catch me. I'll miss the 10 games, man. I'm not gonna miss a full year for Tommy John if there's any truth to this, if there's any science to it. And, you know, again, if you feel like you can make $30 million, go ahead. I'll get paid, and then you can suspend me for 10 games.
What are the owners going to say, Hayes, if 10 more pitchers go down for the same thing? They're going to be like, what the hell's going on here? All of my high-priced talent's going down with surgery.
Exactly. Now, this is a one-off. It's only one. And again, Glasnow, I don't think he's got any science behind it, but is it a coincidence that he claims he stopped using what he was using? And was he only using that? Is this fully truthful? Who knows? It's from his perspective. But this story is just going to blow up. Confirm or deny, Vladdy Guerrero Jr. is having a better season than Josh Donaldson's MVP season in 2015.
Denying. It's just recency bias that wants to trick your mind into thinking that he is better than Josh Donaldson. He hasn't won the MVP yet, so I'm going to still go with the MVP, JD. Don't forget how awesome that guy was back in that season, man.
And at third, he played a more prominent defensive position.
Yeah, and he was so clutch, like bringer of rain MVP. Every night, hustle. Right. Like it was, until he does it, I'll say deny.
How many jacks did he have that year, roughly?
54, I think.
No, he had 40-something, 41, 42. I have it here. Let me find it.
Like Vladdy,
he had more than 41, Hayes, to win the MVP.
I'm telling you, he had 41. He had 41 home runs. He had 41 that year. Like, that's
so
a good number still.
You think Vladdy will surpass that?
He's got 22 already, Vladdy.
That's what I mean. So, I think what happens is we focus on that, but if you look at the whole package, like I'm going to deny it too because I think Donaldson had the, you know, the more complete game. He's got the jacks, but he's great defensively as well. Mm-hmm. But it is nice to see Vladdy in that conversation because, you know, this is a great debate.
It is a legitimate debate, and I'm going to confirm it. I'm going to confirm it right now. Through a third of the season, now maybe the wheels fall off and we're in a different spot. Vladdy's numbers, this guy's on pace for a triple crown right now. Triple crown. Donaldson was unbelievable. Like, Blue Jay fans have been lucky because there have been Cy Young winners here with Clemens and with Halliday, and there's been MVPs with George Bell, and we know what happened in the early 90s, and you get Donaldson. Vladdy is hitting 346. He's already got 22 home runs. 22, and he's played a third of the season. He's got an 1,100 OPS.
It was a sentimental comment from me because it takes me back to that season. And
they
won more. And I also, Hayes, have the attachment of going to games and watching it live. And that's why I said just don't discard that season.
I'm not discarding it.
And move away from it. I know you're not discarding it, but just I don't want to just throw it away and say this is automatically better because it has an attachment to me of being down there, the walk-up song, the Phil Collins song, and it's just like this guy was a machine.
I agree with you. And, listen, it was more valuable in the big picture because the team won. That's not Vladdy's fault. But if the Jays end up with 85 wins and miss the playoffs, Donaldson's MVP was – they went to the ALCS that year, right? Like they won the division that year. They went on a tear in the second half, and Donaldson was leading that. Vladdy needs help for the MVP if he gets it to mean as much as Donaldson's did in 15 in a way because of the team that Donaldson had around him. But Vladdy, in terms of his own performance, it's off the charts, man. Confirm or deny, Kyle Dubas, the GM of the Maple Leafs, needs to add significant amounts of size in the offseason.
Deny, because you're not just going to go and say, okay, let's go monster hunting right now. And you're not going to bring in, and you're not going to line up on the blue line opening night and say, oh, yeah, these guys are as big as the Golden Knights. I know he values that, but I don't think he's going to go out there and say, we're loading up with size this offseason. Well, so it's deny. Obviously, you'd like to. It's an important factor, but you can't just go pick up a stock of massive dudes in the offseason. It's not happening.
Here's what I'm going to say to that. Is I think through osmosis, you can have a theme so that if you have a coin flip between two players that are close, you go with the guy who is physically a little bit bigger because you already have Muzzin. You have Austin Matthews is a big guy. Like some of the guys that you are already – like John Tavares is a strong guy. He may not be 6'4", but he's strong on his stick. He's strong on the puck. Like – I think you can add size just by having a philosophy of, with the guys that you are signing. Because you already have some big guys, but you need to, we think of Mitch Marner. Well, Mitch Marner's not a big guy, but he's actually 6 feet tall. He just plays a little bit more hunched over.
I was thinking about him a lot last night, man. Him against that Vegas team would have been very difficult for him to work his magic. Very difficult.
Time and space, but you know what? I'm going to defend
him. He's not a great skater either. He's a good skater, but he's not a burner.
But you're right. But the thing is great players find ways to adapt.
Right.
Now, Mitch has to find a way a lot quicker now in the playoffs to adapt. I believe he will. And he needs help because he's going to have to use his line mates. He's going to have to have a thought process a lot different than what we saw in the regular season this year. What we saw in the regular season, ice was free. It was just free. You're dipsy.
And that's where he does his damage. He finds open ice, and when he's got the puck on a stick, he's in the 99 percentile in terms of elite skill, as good as it gets.
Sure. But you're right.
You don't have that much, right?
You don't have time and space in the playoffs.
No, you don't. You don't. The way this is phrased is Kyle Dubas needs to add significant amount of size. I will deny it. I'm not going to say they need to. You're not going to find it, like we've all pointed out. You guys have already pointed this out. You're not going to get defense core of 6'4", 6'4", 6'4". Right. But, last year the philosophy and the adjustment was we need certain guys like a Thornton, like a Simmons, who bring a little bit of bite. Joe's a massive dude. But it was more about camaraderie. It was guys in the room. I think that philosophy is going to have to be transitioned into we need, a different feel in our bottom six, maybe on our third pairing. Like, if you bring a Bogosian back, he fits that mold. But there's a philosophy here when it comes to Dubas. You look at the way he drafts, man. It's small guy after small guy after small guy. Like, that's what they do. It's small and skill, and they're trying to find guys that fall through the cracks. And I think they're going to hit on a lot of those lottery tickets, or a couple of them anyway. But I don't know if he'll fully commit to, I need everyone to be 6'2 plus.
Yeah, but if the guy doesn't turn into a Braden Point or a Kucherov type player, what the hell good are they? They turn into the Evgeny's Malkins.
Yeah.
The guy in the minors. It's like, what? Malkins.
Yeah.
Dennis Malgin.
They don't play. They don't play, man. They just get recycled and they're in the minors and then they're somewhere else. They don't play.
I hear what you're saying, and that's why it's caught the eye of many, many people. Like, well, there's another guy who's 5'5". 10. That guy's 5'8". You know, it's like, okay.
Who's the right-handed shot kid that led the American League and had 7 million points?
Yeah, Jeremy Bracco.
Jeremy Bracco. It's like, second-round pick, whatever the hell he was.
I don't even
think
he's with the Leafs.
He's not anymore. No. And that wasn't a Dubas pick. That was a Hunter pick, I believe, or even before that. That was a Hunter pick. Was that the Marner draft, I think? Anyway, confirm or deny, Kevin Durant's legacy will take a hit if the Nets lose to the Bucks.
Come on, dude. Are you on drugs?
This is
the most ridiculous. No.
Confirm or deny.
I always go back to the three-point shots just crossing half court, and he drills them. Championship MVP two times.
Yeah.
Give your head a shake.
On Steph's On Steph's team.
Dude, how
and
do
Clay's
you even
team and Draymond's team and Kerr's team. Guy had to go to the team that rinsed him the year before. Had to jump to a 73-win team.
Was he or was he not the MVP of the playoffs?
Yeah, he was. He played
spectacularly.
Okay,
so what the hell are you talking about, a legacy game or a legacy anything?
Let's see if he can do it on his own. If Harden doesn't – Kyrie's out. It feels like Kyrie's out. I believe they've already pretty much announced that. He ain't playing, or they're expecting he won't.
I don't think he'll play the rest of this series. No chance.
No, I don't think he will either. And
but anyway, the question is it a legacy for my guy KD?
Does it take a hit?
No,
absolutely
not. What takes a hit is the ridiculous – no, you don't. You're just being an idiot.
I absolutely confirm it.
It takes a hit more is the stupid stuff on Twitter and telling people off in the DMs. That's what takes a hit. If he doesn't get it done against Giannis, the team that's supposed to win everything every year, with his main guys going down, what the hell is he supposed to do it by himself? You know that can't happen.
Yeah. Well, why not? He's arguably the greatest player in the world. Right now, he's been spotted a 2-0 lead. It's not spotted. He factored into that.
Dude, you just made me move the basketball game to the big TV and the hockey game's going on the small one.
I can't wait to see it tonight. KD,
I can't wait to just –
Listen,
he will.
I could see him going off, but I'm saying, man, I'm telling you, if Harden doesn't play or he's not at 100% and Kyrie's out and they lose to Milwaukee – all eyes are going to be on Kevin Durant.
Dude, I'm telling you, it's a ridiculous statement to say his legacy will take a hit. And I guarantee you we're going to have Jack Armstrong on. And it's the first thing I'm going to ask him.
Go ahead.
And he's going to call you a bozo.
Well, we'll see what happens.
He's not going to
call
you.
We'll see. Might.
Bozo.
All right. Noodles, have you answered that? I don't know if you have.
No, I did. His legacy won't take a hit. I knew you were trolling him. I'm going to leave it alone.
Okay. Yeah. Confirm or deny. We'll save one more for After Dark. Bryson DeChambeau is going to get chirped from the crowd all week at the U.S. Open. Confirm or deny?
Confirm. He just, I don't know. Even if he was playing, there's nothing he could do. But I don't know if the people are going to be tossed out or what the idea is behind the security or what happened at Memorial. But you know that they're just going to, like, if he was playing with Brooks, they would support Brooks and chirp him. Now he's not playing with Brooks. They're going to chirp him about that. People are just... They're doing weird things these days, and they get 15 beers in them. They don't care, U.S. Open or not. It's happening.
Yeah. I confirm.
It's happening.
You know what we're going to hear this weekend? Someone's going to yell, Suns in four, after a bomb tee shot. Someone is going to yell that out, Suns in four. But I'll confirm it. We'll save one more for confirm or deny after dark. Confirm or deny was brought to you by Don Valley North Lexus. Take advantage of an incredible 1.5% off lease and finance rates for rates as low as 0.4%. Visit DonValleyNorthLexus.com for all the details. We've got our first question for Jack Armstrong. We'll hit the ground running with Jack. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 2. All right, our buddy Jack Armstrong will join us here in a moment. We've got Game 2, Tampa Islanders tonight. The Jays taking on the Yankees down in Buffalo. Brooklyn playing Milwaukee tonight. Going to be a fun night of sports. Three big games and U.S. Open at Torrey Pines. So that's something to look forward to. The Euros continue. France beating Germany today 1-0 on an own goal. Those pesky own goals, never good.
Own goal. I love it.
What are you going to do? So good start for France and obviously the reigning World Cup champs. And you see Ronaldo's goal this afternoon. That was cheeky, as many would call it, cheeky. And that means he has more goals in the Euros than any player in history of the tournament. So I believe he has the most Champions League goals and the most goals in Euros history. So chew
impressive
on that, Messi, even though you're from South America and you can't play in the Euros. But Ronaldo putting up some pretty significant stats,
dude,
as you would expect.
Dude, somebody told me that Ronaldo gets $1 million for like an IG post.
Yeah, last time I checked, he had the most followers on Instagram. And literally making, if not a million, it's like 250 grand, 500K for a story. This guy posts a story. Like, if he put up a picture of the three of us saying, watch, listen, download, podcast, Overdrive, we'd have to pay that guy like 500 grand. Is that worth the investment? Do you think anyone would start listening to our show because Ronaldo posted about it?
Maybe. I'm telling you, he's an influencer. People get paid a lot of money to do, is influence.
That's right. Yeah,
I agree. I think it happens all the time.
Sure it does for products. I'm just saying, I don't know if our show necessarily, but maybe it's something worthy of investment. Maybe we'll look into that. See if we can pay Ronaldo off. Get a free advertisement courtesy of his Instagram account. So the Jays are back in Buffalo tonight, taking on the Yankees. And I'm predicting more of a Yankee crowd tonight. I kind of get that impression. This might be the only series where it's going to be more about the road team than the home team. But let's go right to the source, a guy who's probably familiar with the town. He lives down there. Here's our buddy Jack Armstrong. Do you think it'll be pro Blue Jays tonight or pro Yankees tonight, Jack?
Well, I'm actually going to the game tomorrow night. I know one thing. I'll be enjoying myself with a few cold beverages. And
what kind of outfit, Jack? Is it going to be a Yankees gear gear?
I got to tell you something. I grew up in Brooklyn, and I grew up rooting for the Yankees. But tomorrow night, I'm going to be rooting for the Jays because they're playing here in Buffalo, and I got to be loyal to the team that's playing here. And there's 162 games in a season, and tomorrow night, I'm going to have an affinity for the Jays tomorrow night. My Yankee buddies are going to be ticked at me, but you know what? The Yankees aren't the home team in Buffalo tomorrow night. The Jays are.
I like
so we got to pull behind the team that's here, and I was at the game 2 weeks ago when they played the Marlins the first game. I had a great time. And I'm looking forward to it tomorrow night, and it should be great, and I can't wait.
Jack, would you and your buddies ever stack cups up like the guys in Chicago did the other day? Would you ever just stack up the cups and have a monster snake of beer cups?
I don't have that kind of game anymore. I mean, I've lost my fastball. You know, I'm still trying to get people out with my curveball, my slider, my off-speed pitch. I'm trying to fool them at this stage of the game, a little knuckleball, whatever it takes at this stage. But, you know, a few of my buddies are coming with me, and my lovely bride is coming too. So she will be our driver. So we're all good, and we'll have a good time. We're going to get there around 4:30, a little pre-game activities. You know, we're accustomed to this in Buffalo. You know, I mean, I'm at the Bills games on Sunday morning, usually 8:30, 9 o'clock, about 4 hours before kickoff. So I'm actually being somewhat civil getting there about 3 hours before the game. But I'll be ready to go tomorrow night.
I like it. Well, and Josh Allen's throwing out the ceremonial first pitch on Thursday. He's going to be on the show on Thursday as well.
Here I am. I work in Toronto. I've been working in Toronto 23 years. I mean, Josh Allen hasn't done anything for Toronto. And maybe I haven't either. I mean, I would love an invite to maybe throw out a pitch once in a while. I mean, come on. I threw out a pitch years ago for the Bisons, and no love. But, hey, Josh Allen, he's doing a little bit more than I am.
Don't sell yourself short. What we can do, though, I think this would be the way we can pitch to the Jays. You show up 3 hours before, get into some Coors Lights, get a little bit of a snap on, and then you throw out the first pitch.
Love it.
And then we see how it plays out, Jack, because then anything is possible at that point.
I tell you what, if my guy Paul Beeston was at the Jays now, it would be
he'd
a done deal already.
Yeah, that's
he'd be
absolutely
the guy.
Right.
He's the man.
That's right. He is. Day one-er, man. Everyone loves Paul Beeston. That's a fact. With Jack Armstrong. All right. Oh, go ahead. You want to present
Jack,
something
I
to
honestly,
Jack.
I got to apologize for this because this is trash from your man, Brian Hayes. And big leaguers like yourself and I, Jack, we understand what goes behind this. But this guy Hayes seems to think that if my man, KD, doesn't get this done without his running man or his running mates, his legacy will take a hit. Is that not nonsense to you or what?
You know what I have to say to that? Get that garbage out of here!
Yeah!
No, not garbage.
I mean, seriously,
garbage.
Hayes, you, You didn't really say that, Brian.
No, he did 20 minutes ago.
Had to join a 73-win team. Had to get his MVPs with Steph and Clay and Draymond. Here's your chance. Let's see what you got, KD. You're the best player in the world. Let's see what you got. Who needs Harden and who needs Kyrie? You can get this done. Mike Budenholzer is going to throw you a curveball or two. He's probably going to put one right down the middle the way that this guy coaches in the playoffs. Let's see what you got, KD. I want to see him close.
I don't disagree with you about Mike Budenholzer. And I'll tell you what, if I'm ownership and management of Milwaukee, he better have answers if he doesn't play Giannis, Middleton, and Holiday minimum 42 minutes tonight.
Right.
I mean, I love how he was the smartest guy in the world when he got hired there. Now he's just a dum-dum.
Well, you know what? I mean, because he coaches. The problem is he's a little stubborn, and he coaches the same way in the playoffs as he does in the regular season. And, you know, this is a sprint now. This is not a marathon. And you got to go for the neck. You got to go for the jugular. And you got to – so to me, I like the fact that Giannis has played an average around 41 minutes the last two games. And, you know, I mean, tonight is a moment of truth night. If you're the Bucks and you're going to get to the East Finals, and if you're going to keep your job as a coach, you know, you're all in here. I mean, whether Harden plays a dozen – I mean, you're in a hostile environment. You got to go down with your best guys. I mean, yeah, you got a game six at home, but do you want to really go back and have to win a game seven in Brooklyn and give them more time to maybe potentially get healthy? You don't do that. You have got to go for it tonight. And on the other hand, I'm a huge KD fan. I've loved him from the time he was at the University of Texas with Oklahoma City. I just think he's a wonderful talent. And he's like a different version of Dirk Nowitzki, like a seven-footer that shoots like, you know, if you don't see him in person, you don't realize just how big and how long this guy is. And he shoots like he's a six-footer. He's just so skilled, a wonderful player. And again, I get your criticism of Brian of why he jumped to Golden State, and he has been a bit dramatic at times. I'm not a social media guy, so I don't follow any of that nonsense anyway, but I just think that when I watch him play, it brings a smile to my face. I love him. I think he's a joy to watch, and I'm excited to see him play again. I'm happy he's healthy. But tonight, who knows? I mean, there's rumors that Harden might try to play. The guy that's got to bring it tonight, and the Bucks have done a good job to their credit, is Joe Harris. I think Joe Harris is, I don't know, you can go around the league and say, who's got a better fourth guy on their team? And you could argue, is it Blake Griffin or Joe Harris? But from a perimeter perspective, that guy's a world-class shooter. And what has he gotten? 5 points? Yeah, so, I mean, I think he's had average 5 points in the last two games on 4-19 shooting. The previous two games, I think he was around 17 points. So he's a guy that really impacts spacing, and he's a guy that has to be a compliment when they load the house up on KD. So he'll be a guy. Then Blake Griffin has played. I like how he's looked. But, you know, they're going to need a lot of help for KD. But to put it on his shoulders, yeah, he's got to, you know, he's got to get 35-plus. He's got to be of absolute beast. And I tell you what, too, watch out for the refs tonight, because everyone's going crazy about how P.J. Tucker has been so physical, and the series has been called like it's a 1980s playoff series. So I think the Nets have planted all those seeds. So keep an eye on the officials tonight in this game. And, you know, if it's a delicate, tight whistle, that helps KD, that helps the Nets. I think if you're the Bucks, man, you got to come out guns a-blazing. At the same time, you got to be smart and adapt to the officials, because you got to keep an eye on them tonight.
With Jack Armstrong, the last few weeks has been the Chris Paul appreciation tour, and we were talking about this yesterday, that it seems somewhat unwarranted. I mean, this is a guy who was, I believe, a third overall pick. He's a lock first ballot Hall of Famer.
Did it the easy way, though, Hazy B.
Right. And listen, he's been spectacular. The way he just performed in those four games against Denver, like his numbers are off the charts. He's the definition of a pure conventional point guard, and he's a spectacular player. But answer this for us, Jack. You've been around the NBA forever. Is he underrated, appropriately rated? Like, what should we be making of all this chatter about Chris Paul all of a sudden?
Well, I love Chris Paul. My dear friend Skip Prosser, who passed away, was the head coach of Wake Forest, and Skip recruited him at Wake. And You know, I've always been a big fan of Chris Paul from the time he was in high school. And to me, when I look at him play, he's the consummate floor general. He makes everybody better. And, you know, he's had some meltdowns in the playoffs. I mean, if you look back at his time in New Orleans and L.A., you know, he's had his moments where, you know, there's been some question of how clutch this guy is. And, you know, it was funny. I was joking with my wife the other day, and she was a former Division I women's basketball coach as well as soccer coach. And I said to her the other night, we were watching a game, and I said, you look at Chris Paul, he's helping Kyle Lowry's value that much more. I mean, we live in the era of Federer and Brady and Serena and people like that. I mean, Phil Mickelson winning a major a few weeks ago. And I look at Chris Paul, what he's doing in an extended age, and you have all these people that write these articles about, well, you can't do it after age 34, 35 as a point guard in the NBA. And I don't agree with that. I think today's world, in terms of the wonderful job our trainers, our sports performance people do with athletes today, and how professional and how dedicated our athletes are. I mean, there's so much money at stake. These guys do it and these ladies do an amazing job of being prepared. So here's the thing. I think Chris Paul has come in and made such a huge impact on winning. They've had talent in Phoenix, but they haven't had direction and toughness and a guy that will call people out. And he's got some sandpaper to him. He's a tough dude, and he's, you know, he's a little grumpy and a little angry sometimes, but those young guys need that. And he's done a beautiful job, and he's got that partnership with Monty Williams. He played for Monty before in New Orleans, so there's a high level of respect there. And, you know, to me, I'm just happy for him, and I'm happy for older players. I look at a guy, you know, and it's interesting. I love what Masai Ujiri said when things didn't work out with trading Kyle Lowry. He goes, we value this guy so much. And he goes, maybe other people don't really see it. And I guess his point is kind of the same point that we're making about Chris Paul right now. I think the Raptors value what Kyle Lowry brings that sometimes don't necessarily show up on the stat sheet, but they are so impactful for winning, and I think that's what Chris Paul brings. And good for Chris Paul, and I think this helps Kyle as well with the Raptors, whether it be coming back, whether it be partnering on a side and trade, or whether leaving as a free agent. I think that these guys have such value to winning and leadership and know-how. And to me, I don't think you could ever put a price on that. And too often people get too caught up in statistics and all that, when in fact it's a people business. It's a human business. And how one person walking in that room impacts the whole room, that's Chris Paul. And your two partners, Brian, I think they totally understand that with some of the great players they played with. And maybe it wasn't even the greatest player in the room, but it might have been the best leader. And I think Chris Paul has that. I think Kyle Lowry has that.
Jack, we talk about it all the time, whether it be makeups and rosters of teams. And you just mentioned, like, can you be too nice? I mean, you want to bring in good people to your organization, upstanding citizens, blah, blah, blah. But don't you think it can be a positive if you bring in a guy with maybe a bit of an attitude problem, just a bit on edge, and that's not happy every day and that doesn't love every game, win or lose, just to kind of have that edge where not everyone's like, hi, how's it going? I'm doing great today, win or lose. It's just, as a former coach, can it kind of be a value to kind of have some guys with edge, just as you mentioned?
Well, you know, it's funny. I had lunch this afternoon with Greg Paulus, who's a coach at Niagara University, where I used to coach. And Greg was a four-year starter for Mike Krzyzewski at Duke. And on top of that, when he graduated from Duke, he was an All-American in both basketball and football, and he was a starting quarterback at Syracuse in his fifth year. I mean, this guy's a stud. And we were chatting just about that today about lunch, at lunch. And I said to him, I said, look, you can't win with Sammy Sweatsox. You know, you can't win with some kid who's a nice guy who sets screens and passes the ball, all that. Those guys don't get you over the hump. You know, the great Al McGuire, coach at Marquette, the Hall of Famer, used to say, you know what? You can't have all milk drinkers. You know, you got to have one or two whiskey drinkers. You got to have some badass you know what. And you got to have a good mix. You got to have a lot of good guys that are, you know, doing it. And even the guys that are the tough, badass you know what, you know, they got to be good citizens and good people. But nonetheless, when they get between the lines, they got to be killers. They got to be guys that are just going for the jugular. And to me, you know, when I think of a guy like Kobe Bryant, when I think of Michael Jordan, when I think of Kyle Lowry, when I think of Chris Paul, those guys are looking to rip your heart out. And I want guys like that on my team. And once in a while, you gotta work with them a little bit, massage the ego and all that. But it's all worth it because they're good people. They care about winning. They have a love affair with the sport. And quite frankly, they're seeing the game at such a higher level many times than their actual coach that these guys are savants. And, you know, if you just get on board with what they're thinking, you know, I love watching Steve Nash coaching now. That's what Steve Nash – now, I wouldn't say Steve Nash came off as a bad dude, but I'll tell you what, Steve Nash is as competitive a guy as you'll meet. And the guy, you know, for him to achieve what he's achieved, you know, there's a lot more than just him, you know, him being a guy that's dedicated, this, that, the other thing. He's tough. He's competitive. He's a leader. He's a guy that inspires and bring people together. You know, so again, I think in our time with analytics, and again, I have a respect and I have an appreciation for it, but I'll say this again about analytics. Analytics, it's like you go out to dinner, you have your steak and potato. The human element is the steak and the potato. The salt and the salt and pepper you put on your steak, that adds flavor. That's analytics. The sour cream or the chives or the butter you put on your potato, that adds flavor. But the steak and the potato are the main entree. That's the person. And I think too often we're getting it backwards. And to me, I think, again, analytics is another viewpoint, and it's a tremendous viewpoint, and it's another way to evaluate. But it is not the be-all, end-all. It's part of the process.
Enjoy the game tomorrow night, Jack. Go Jays.
You're our steak and you're our potato, yeah, too.
That's
buddy.
Right, buddy. Enjoy it. We'll do it again soon. Thank you for this.
Go Jays. Have a great night, fellas.
You got it, Jack Armstrong. That's why you and Jack connect so much. He'll jump off a bandwagon and start following a different team. And
Hazy,
now you're a Nets fan and Bucks
today,
fan.
I was the steak and you were the potato, but you had no salt and pepper.
There's no analytics
cream.
Involved.
No, nothing.
But what did I turn into? Garlic mash the final seven holes. Garlic mash.
Penne pesto.
With a penne pesto on the side. I was absolutely dialed. Final seven holes, one over. Unreal round. That's all that matters. We'll come back with some confirm or deny after dark. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 2.
I can neither confirm or deny that.
Ooh, a little confirm or deny after dark. Fergie with the lights down low and the candles lit.
Love
Very
it.
Romantic. Time for one more.
Horny confirm or deny.
All right, fitting with the Yankees taking on the Jays. If the Yankees miss the playoffs, confirm or deny, Aaron Boone will not be back next season.
Come on, dude. That's a total confirm.
Yeah.
Why would they like this? He's under the gun, man. A lot
of
pressure.
He's taking so much heat in New York. Everyone just hates Aaron Boone. It's his fault. You know?
Yeah.
It's his fault. No one else is doing it. Aaron Judge is having a great year. Everyone else is kind of just plugging along. Garrett Cole's been pretty good, but.
Yeah. No, I agree.
But it's confirmed.
It's New York.
Yep.
It's New York.
It's New
like,
York.
If you don't have success, you're out. They move
yep.
on to the next guy. That's it.
That's generally what happens. And Boone's just doing what he's being told, like almost every other manager. You know,
exactly.
Fill out the lineup the way we want it. Use the bullpen the way we want it. Anyway, Jays Yankees tonight. Islanders Tampa tonight. Big one for Tampa. Massive one for Tampa. And I think they'll respond tonight. I expect that they will. And your boy KD and the Nets taking on Milwaukee in Game 5. Massive one back in Brooklyn. Packed house for that game, too, you would suspect. So it's been a fun one. Euros continue tomorrow. We are out of here. We're back tomorrow at?
Suns and 4 p.m., maybe 5.
We'll chat then.